Ladies and gentlemen, colleagues, good morning and welcome to the conference call interim report to 30th September 2015 of BMW AG. Harald Krüger, Chairman of the Board of Management of BMW AG, and Dr. Friedrich Eichiner, Member of the Board of Management, BMW AG, in charge of finance, will first of all give you an overview of business development. After that, you have the opportunity to ask your questions. I pass the floor to Mr. Krüger.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. In the coming years, the automotive industry will be changing, bringing with it new opportunities and groundbreaking developments. In this time of profound transition, BMW Group is assuming an active role as an innovator and driver of change. We're making our contribution to ensure the successful development of this key industry in Germany and around the world. Today, I'd like to focus on four topics: the current performance of BMW Group, efficient dynamics, electric mobility, and digitalization. My first point: within a volatile business environment, we've set ourselves ambitious targets for 2015. A solid increase in group sales, a solid increase in pre-tax group results, and EBIT margin in the automotive segment in the target range of 8%-10%. Our key financials for the first 9 months of the current business year are as follows: pre-tax group earnings was over 7.1 billion euros. That's up 4.3% year-on-year. This is the first time we have passed the 7 billion euro mark in a 9-month period. The group net profit reached more than 4.8 billion euros. Again, this is a new record. At 9%, the EBIT margin in the automotive segment was within our profitability range of 8%-10%. These key financials are the result of the high demand for our products and services. In the first 9 months of this year, we delivered a total of over 1.64 million vehicles worldwide. This is an increase of 7.5% compared with the same period last year. The group, as well as the BMW and MINI brands and BMW Motorrad, each achieved new all-time highs for a 9-month period. The BMW brand remains number one in the premium segment. The X5, as well as the BMW 4, 5, and 6 Series, are also leading in their respective segments. This positive sales development continued in October. Once again, our sales are well balanced globally, with the growth in all major world regions. In Europe, our deliveries were up by more than 10%. In Asia, sales rose by over 4% year-on-year. Growth in China stood at close to 2%. In the Americas, as well as in the U.S., the share of customers who decided to buy a BMW, MINI, or Rolls-Royce went up 7%. All of these figures show that we're on track to meet our targets for the full business year 2015. Sure, there can be no doubt that our business environment is still facing many challenges and uncertainties. The slowdown in growth momentum in China presents certain risks for the development of the global economy. These risks could also affect our business development and forecast. However, our new models should offset this and will support our positive sales development. A few days ago, we launched a new BMW 7 Series and a second generation of the BMW X1. Thanks to its intelligent mix of materials, the BMW Series is the world's lightest luxury sedan. On top of that, it is currently also the best connected vehicle in the world. In a nutshell, pure modern luxury. At MINI, the new Clubman just went on sale. At a new MINI convertible celebrated its world premiere at the Tokyo Motor Show a few days ago. This model is the next generation of the first and only premium convertible in the small car segment. Rolls-Royce has announced a new model called Dawn. Now on to my second topic, efficient dynamics. Over the past years, we have cut the CO2 emissions of our new car fleet in Europe by more than one-third. We have completely realigned our model portfolio and our engine lineup. Because of this, we have achieved notable results in current test cycles and reduced real consumption. Today, our fleet stands at 130 grams of CO2 per kilometer. Customers can choose from 86 models within the BMW Group portfolio that emit less than 120 grams of CO2 per kilometer in the current EU test cycle. An important element of efficient dynamics is our state-of-the-art diesel technology. Diesel is one of the cleanest and most efficient drivetrains in the industry. Without diesel powertrains, we would not have been able to meet the strict CO2 limits in Europe. Many customers appreciate the advantages that diesel has to offer. At present, our customers are not showing any changes. I repeat, they're not showing any changes in their buying behavior towards diesel. For us at the BMW Group, it remains a matter of course that we strictly adhere to the legal regulations and existing test cycles in every country. We act according to the mandatory procedures and compliant guidance we've established. I say the company's corporate and leadership culture is a crucial aspect in this context, allowing for discussions and open discourse, as well as a clear corporate compliance policy, is an important element to prevent fundamental misconduct. As a global business, The BMW Group operates in over 140 countries around the world. Therefore, it is necessary to have common standards for technical systems in Europe and worldwide in order to provide a stable planning basis for manufacturers' investment decisions. With a uniform system, we would no longer need to meet different technical requirements in different regions anymore. That is why we support the rapid implementation of new test cycles. This includes the new WLTP test cycle and the Real Drive Emission Test Procedure, RDE. Our customers know the value they get from our vehicles, and they trust in us, and that's the cornerstone of our business. My third topic, we remain committed to pursuit in developing alternative drivetrains. That is why we created BMW iBrand for electric mobility. Today, one in four electric cars sold in Germany is a BMW i3. In the US, every sixth e-car is an i3. In Norway, the i3 accounts for an impressive one in five BMWs sold. And in China, customers are now exempt from paying sales tax on the i3. This means new opportunities for us in China, one of the most important markets for e-mobility. We will invest further in our BMW i family and launch another model under this brand. As previously announced, we were consistently transferring BMW's innovative drive systems to our BMW series models. In 2016, we will launch plug-in hybrid versions in high-volume model series, namely BMW 7, 3 and 2 series. The X5 with eDrive has been available in the US since early October and will be launched in Germany and further markets this month. No other car maker in the world offers customers such a wide range of alternative drivetrains and highly efficient combustion engines. On to my fourth topic, digitalization. The future of the automotive industry will be decided in the field of vehicle connectivity and autonomous driving. Digitalization is transforming our entire business model, from customer touch points to mobility concepts and services, as well as to digitally supported production. We want our customers to be able to make full use of their smartphones features in their cars as well. Thus, we're going to integrate Apple's CarPlay and Google's Android Auto into our vehicles. Obviously, it is not in the interest of our customers to give third-party providers access to their data. For us, the protection of our customers' data is top priority. The digitalization of mobility offers an exciting potential for growth in our industry. Over the past decades, the car has become a highly complex technological machine. So whether you want to offer mobility made in Silicon Valley or made in Bavaria, the same regulatory requirements and challenges apply to everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, our focus at BMW Group has always been on the long term and will remain so. In our strategy process, we simultaneously consider two time periods. First, which operational actions can efficiently guide us up to 2020? And second, and I would say this is decisive, what do we need to remain successful within a competitive environment in 2025 and beyond? We're convinced that we have the right skill set at our disposal to shape the future of individual mobility. We rely on our innovative strength and experience. At the same time, we want to develop cutting-edge technologies for new products and tap into new business areas. All these activities follow our claim of being the leading provider of individual mobility and services in the premium segment. Thank you for your attention. Thank you, Mr. Krüger, and now over to Dr. Eichner. Ladies and gentlemen, good morning from me as well. The BMW Group reported higher sales revenues and earnings for the first 9 months in a challenging environment. The company is right on track as we continue to work hard to meet our ambitious targets for the full year 2015. Demand for premium BMW, Mini and Rolls-Royce vehicles remained strong in the third quarter. Sales reached a new all-time high with more than 545,000 vehicles and almost 34,000 motorcycles delivered to customers. This represents a 6.9% increase in automotive sales and a 16.3% increase in the motorcycle sales compared with the same period of last year. This growth comes mainly from attractive new models, with BMW, the 2 Series, 4 Series and the X models made the biggest gains. With Mini, it was the 3-door and 5-door vehicles. As in the first half of the year, mature markets were once again the main sales drivers. Our premium brands remained high in demand in European countries. In the year to the end of September, the BMW Group delivered more than 731,600 vehicles to customers. That's an increase of 10.3%. The solid growth in the Americas also continued. Deliveries climbed 7% to more than 361,500 units after 9 months. This was primarily due to the U.S., which accounted for almost 296,000 units. The strong US dollar is ensuring the market stays attractive for foreign suppliers. However, as a result, competition in this market has intensified. The BMW Group also reported a solid increase in the sales volume in Japan. In China, the trend towards normalization continues. Economic growth has slowed, with slower rates of GDP and auto market growth as expected. At the same time, the turbulence on the mainland stock markets in recent months has dampened consumer confidence. Overall, we expect the economic situation in the market to stabilize at a lower rate of growth. In the first 9 months, the BMW Group delivered almost 343,000 vehicles in mainland China, an increase of 1.9%. The BMW Group has proactively adjusted production in and for China based on a slower growth. We are also helping Chinese dealers respond to more intense competition through training and other sales-enhancing measures. The recently introduced revised 3-series models did not impact third-quarter sales in the Chinese market yet. However, we should see an effect from the fourth quarter onwards, also supported by the 7-series launch. Product momentum will improve even further in 2016, for instance, supported by the new BMW X1. As one of the leading manufacturers in the premium segment, we remain confident about medium and long-term economic development in China. Chinese customers are discerning. They are brand conscious and appreciate the quality of premium brands. Thanks to our balanced global positioning and young and attractive products, the BMW Group anticipates further sales gains in the fourth quarter. Worldwide sales growth significantly boosted group revenues for the third quarter. Revenues reached almost 22.35 billion. That is up 14% from the same period of last year. Currency tailwinds had less impact than in the first half of the year. Adjusted for these effects, revenues were only 7.7% higher. Group pre-tax earnings for the third quarter totaled 2.26 billion euros, an increase of 12.8% over the same period last year. The financial result improved significantly year on year due to a lower negative impact from market valuation of derivatives. The BMW Group's pre-tax earnings for the first 9 months reached 7.11 billion euros with an EBT margin of 10.6% as per September. Now I'd like to talk about our capital expenditure and development activities. The BMW Group remains committed to its investment strategy. We are securing our competitive position by expanding our portfolio and business areas. In the year to the end of September, the company invested a total of 3.66 billion in equipment and products. Investment was mainly focused on recently launched models, the 7 Series, the X1, the Mini Clubman and the 2 Series Grand Tourer. With significantly higher revenues, the CAPEX ratio for the first 9 months stood at 5.4%. Investment in property, plant, equipment and intangible assets for the full year is expected to remain on par with last year. We anticipate higher CAPEX in the fourth quarter due to the usual seasonal effects, which are likely to have a greater impact in the final quarter of 2014. The CAPEX ratio for the full year should be in line with our long-term target of below 7% of revenue. Research and development spending for the year to the end of September totaled 3.69 billion euros, an increase of 15.3% year-on-year. Development costs were higher due to the series ramp-up of new models, like the 7 Series with the new rear-wheel drive architecture. Vehicle architecture for the compact series also generated development costs. These factors resulted in a higher ratio of capitalized development costs. Additional R&D activities focused on lightweight construction, connectivity and alternative drivetrains. The R&D ratio, as in the previous year, was 5.5%. We expect the ratio for the full year to be on par with that of last year. BMW Group liquidity stood at 10.9 billion euros at the end of September, underlining our solid financial position. Let's now take a look at earnings performance in the individual segments. First, the automotive segment. The company delivered almost 35,400 more vehicles to customers than in the third quarter of 2014. The segment's third quarter revenues reached 20.97 billion, an increase of 15.6% year-on-year. Adjusted for currency effects, revenues rose by 8.6%. Automotive EBIT for the third quarter totaled 1.91 billion euros. This represents an increase of 12.7% over the previous year, with an EBIT margin of 9.1%. Profitability was also affected by cost calendarization. A disproportionately large share of the project cost for the full year will be posted in the fourth quarter. The automotive segment earned revenues of 61.51 billion euros for the year to the end of September. This is an increase of 15.6% over the same period of last year. Segment EBIT for the first 9 months totaled 5.53 billion euros, which represents an EBIT margin of 9%. This figure is within our target range and therefore meets our benchmark for segment profitability. The increase in revenues and earnings was driven by higher sales volumes. Among the X models, larger class vehicles made gains also in view of the X1 model change. The new 2 Series models also fueled growth. Pricing stabilized worldwide in the third quarter compared with the second quarter. The European markets, in particular, performed slightly better, whereas increased competition in the U.S. impacted pricing. Personnel costs for the 9 months to the end of September were higher year-on-year. The automotive segment workforce increased by 5,947 employees. New hires were made throughout the global production network in development and IT, as the company strengthens its expertise in future technologies related to digitalization. Changes in currencies and raw material prices contributed to the positive earnings development in the third quarter. For the full year, we expect a tailwind in the mid-three-digit million range. In the third quarter, the automotive segment's financial result improved year-on-year. The previous year had been impacted by an impairment of the investment in SGL Carbon. The market valuation of derivatives was also less negative than in the third quarter of last year. Fourth quarter costs will be higher due to seasonal factors, which will dampen earnings. However, we expect an increase in sales towards the end of the year. The automotive segment's financial situation continued its positive development in the first 9 months of the year. As of September 30, inventories rose in preparation for the introduction of new models. However, working capital increased by about 9 million euros less than in the same period of last year. As a result, free cash flow amounted to 3.38 billion euros for the first 9 months. We expect that free cash flow will be lower in the fourth quarter due to the high level of costs and the investment, as well as the resulting payment to suppliers. Nonetheless, we're maintaining our target of more than 3 billion euros for the full year. At the end of the third quarter, net financial assets totaled 14.77 billion euros. That brings me to the financial services segment. The solid growth in this business area continued in the third quarter. More than 420,600 new contracts were concluded with retail customers, 9.9% more than in the same period of last year. A total of more than 1.22 million new contracts were concluded with retail customers in the year to the end of September. The new business volume stood at 37.28 billion euros. Business expanded in China and the U.S., in particular, boosted by positive currency translation effects. The new business volume climbed 24.3% compared to the previous year. Adjusted for currency translation effects, business grew by 14.4%. Leasing contracts accounted for around a third of new business. From January to September, the contract portfolio with retail customers increased by 7.5% to 4.23 million contracts. That's mainly due to growth in the Asia-Pacific region. The Americas region and Middle East, Africa and Europe also reported solid growth, that's excluding the EU Bank. The total portfolio of the EU Bank, which includes Western European institutions, posted growth of 2.2%. The segment penetration rate, the percentage of new vehicles financed or leased by financial services, climbed to 46.1% for the first 9 months of the year. This represents an increase of 4.3 percentage points over the previous year's figure. Both third quarter and 9 month revenues and earnings reflect this dynamic growth. From January to September, revenues increased significantly, also due to currency translation effects, to reach 17.83 billion euros. Pre-tax earnings for the segment stood at 1.52 billion euros at the end of September, a significant increase of 12.1% year-on-year. The risk situation remained stable for BMW Financial Services in the third quarter. Compared with the second quarter, pricing in the Central European used car markets increased slightly. In North America, it remained largely unchanged. Credit risks did not show any substantial changes either. The credit loss ratio for the entire portfolio is low at 0.35% and is below last year's figure. BMW Financial Services takes a comprehensive approach to risk management, as making adequate provisions to hedge business risks. Residual value and credit risks are expected to remain comparatively stable for the rest of the year. Dynamic demand for financial services products is likely to continue overall. The stable risk situation should support continued growth for BMW Financial Services. Let us now take a look at the motorcycle segment. BMW Motorrad continued to perform well, with record sales, revenues and earnings. The brand is benefiting from its expanded lineup and positive growth in the market segment. In the first 9 months, BMW Motorrad delivered more than 11,400 vehicles to customers, an increase of 12.2%. BMW Motorrad once again reported double-digit growth in its home region of Europe. The recovery in Southern Europe in particular generated strong sales growth. The European motorcycle market in the segment above 500cc grew by 9% in the year to the end of September. Over 60% of our deliveries are to customers in Europe. Overseas markets also saw positive development in the United States. For example, BMW Motorrad reported solid sales growth with a delivery of almost 13,370 motorcycles. Revenues for the first 9 months rose 19.9% to €1.64 billion. BMW Motorrad benefited from currency translation effects and positive market environment, as well as higher sales volumes. EBIT for the same period climbed 87% to €273 million. The segment's clear focus towards customer demands and strategic portfolio expansion are clearly bearing fruit. Due to the seasonal nature of the motorcycle business, however, BMW Motorrad can expect a weaker fourth quarter. Ladies and gentlemen, the BMW Group is on track to meet its guidance, targeting new all-time highs for sales, revenues and earnings for the full year. Assuming that the market environment remains stable, we confirm our targets for 2015. A solid increase in group earnings before tax, a solid increase in sales with significantly higher revenues in the automotive segment, and an EBIT margin between 8 and 10%. A solid increase in sales at BMW Motorrad. In financial services, the return on equity is expected to be on par with last year and therefore above our target of at least 18%. We are working hard to reach these targets, though we are faced with challenges in a number of markets. Costs will also be higher in all areas of the company in the fourth quarter. We also expect capital expenditure to be higher through the end of the year. Continued global economic and political volatility could, of course, have a negative impact on business development. This also applies to the continuing and significant normalization of the Chinese market. We pursue our ambitious annual targets with as much vigor as our long-term corporate goals. The BMW Group is currently conducting a strategic realignment to ensure the company's future competitiveness. A high level of profitability is an important aspect of this. It allows us to make the necessary investments for future growth and to establish new business areas. We will continue to offer our customers attractive products and services as well as strategically position ourselves in the forefront of our industry. This approach will enable our future success. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Eichner. Colleagues, we now have time to take your questions. I'd now like to ask our colleagues to provide the technical information for the conference. Ladies and gentlemen, we're now beginning with our Q&A session. If you'd like to ask a question, please push the telephone keys 01. Your questions will be taken in the order received. Should you be listening over the loudspeaker today, please ask your questions by picking up the receiver. Thank you, and give us a moment for the first question. First question, Stefan Koenig, Börsen-Zeitung. Good morning. I've only got two questions. The first one relates to your statement made at the beginning, Mr. Krüger, relating to the diesel business. In October, discounts in Germany have allegedly increased. Doesn't that have an effect on your pricing policy and the diesel crisis at Volkswagen? The other point, Mr. Eichner, your statement about the fourth quarter, which effects will the increased cost increase have and the increased investment ratio on the EBIT margin in the core business? Can you maintain that target of 8%, or will BMW be below 8% then? Thank you, Mr. Koenig. Mr. Krieger first, and about the diesel business and discounts, and the second part, Mr. Eichner. Mr. Krüger, please. Herr Koenig, like I said before, currently we don't see any effects yet on sales figures with the diesels, but it's still early to speak about this. The Volkswagen situation that was in September, many customers, you know, have a run-up time of 2 to 3 months. It's a little early to make anything, but we're not feeling anything about the diesels at the moment. Mr. Eichner?
Well, the fact that in the fourth quarter we have higher costs and higher investments, that's not new. This is a cycle we've had for a couple of years. This is related to our development activities. Projects just tend to be completed in the fourth quarter. This is when the costs will be incurred. But in contrast to that, we also have higher sales. Since there's a ramp-up of a couple of new products, as we mentioned, the new 7 Series or the X1, so this counters the effect. Now, in all, as concerns the margin, we're only making a statement for the overall year. There's no guidance for on a monthly or quarterly basis. And the corridor, the range of 8 to 10%, yes, we'll adhere to that.
Next question, please. Hendrik Farnholz, Dow Jones. Good morning. First, on the company strategy, Mr. Krüger, you reported about this process before. Perhaps you can give me an idea of how far you've gotten in your strategy process. When will we see the first results of it? The other thing, taking a glance at China, you spoke about this continuing normalization. Is there an updated outlook on how this normalization will take, and if that normalization will continue, where do you see the growth drivers in 2016?
Thank you, Mr. Farnholz. Mr. Krüger will begin, and then Mr. Eichner. Mr. Krüger?
Well, Mr. Farnholz, on your question, well, the strategy process is ongoing. We're doing well. We're working on it, but we are doing this with a lot of substance behind it. It will be computed in Q1 2016. Perhaps one effect you will see that will be digitalization in the further development of our BMW strategy. This will play a major role because this is where our business will change.
Mr. Eichner?
Well, the normalization in China, the question how long that will last, I mean, that's gazing into the crystal ball, isn't it? We can only look at what we're seeing at the moment, and it seems that there is a stabilization at the moment. This is also the experience we had in the third quarter. We assume that we have reached a bottom somewhat and stabilization should continue. That's our expectation. We'll have to see whether it comes true or not, because in the end that also depends on political decisions on which we have no influence. Now, you wanted a forecast for the market 2016. It's a little early to do that, but I don't think we can assume that in 2016 will be coming back to high two-digit growth rates. That's not what we're currently assuming.
Thank you. Next question, please. Christian Hetzner. Good morning. I have a couple of questions. First of all, on the news last night that EPI, that 3-liter diesel Volkswagen is also an issue right now, and smaller diesels, apparently they have emissions 40 times the amount. And if I'm not mistaken, there were further tests. A couple of things were remeasured. Were there any talks with the EPA in this context? Because this is a new situation. My second question on your strategy, electromobility is an important factor. In your last presentation, there was a brief history where you also spoke about corporations, but there's no indications yet as to where these corporations are going to come. Well, seen over the year, can you give us any guidance here? And also in relation to the strategy, would German car manufacturers be an obvious partner? Perhaps you should look for partners within Europe or Germany instead of elsewhere. Well, Mr. Hetzner, before I pass this to Mr. Krüger, maybe just a comment I would like to make on competitors. Now, what you mentioned here in relation to Volkswagen, of course, we're not going to comment on this, but concerning the general outlook, over to Mr. Krüger.
Well, Mr. Hetzner, at BMW Group, we do not manipulate anything. Of course, we comply with legal requirements in all countries, and we meet all local test requirements. We also cooperate with the authorities. In the entire BMW Group, as I explained before, there are very clear and binding rules, compliance rules. There's a 4I principle in order to avoid misconduct, and I believe it's important to have a corporate culture of openness, of discourse, of discussion, and transparency. so much on the exhaust issue. Now, Toyota and the fuel cell, BMW Group is developing core components of a drive system with hydrogen and fuel cell technology together with Toyota. The object of this is to produce a first group of tested components by 2020. And everything else remains to be seen and this will be dealt with as part of our strategy. Thank you. Next question, please.
Mirko Rebka, Plato Brief.
Good morning. I have several questions. I'd like to know, how do you see the situation with the dollar? Do I understand you correct to say that without the currency or dollar effect, you actually have a reduction in your earnings? My next question is again about China. Sales have decreased in China. You said that the bottom has perhaps been reached, but still, you have a cost level there that is far higher, or let's say sales are much lower than you had originally planned. How are you going to react to that? Will you do something about the costs? Is there a cost-saving target you have? And then, Mr. Krüger, you mentioned that investment into e-mobility or e-drives will be continued. My question is, will you be doing that on the same level or will you reduce your investments somewhat? Thank you.
Okay, that's a three-part question, or three questions really. So first, Mr. Eichiner, the dollar, the currency, exchange rate, and China, and then investments, Mr. Krüger. Mr. Eichiner, please.
Well, the dollar in the quarter, the currency effect was only a two-digit million amount, and our revenues increased in a three-digit amount. So you cannot really say that the currency effect, that without the currency effect, our earnings would not have increased. You cannot say that. Then about China, we have always expected a normalization in China. To us, this doesn't come as a surprise that things are normalizing. Okay, the speed was a little surprising. It came a little faster than anticipated. So primarily, a balanced sales distribution is important to us. China, we have 22%, US 21%, 44% in Europe, so we're feeling well positioned with that. And of course, it is the job of the company when there's additional burdens on the contribution margins, of course you need to counter steer on the cost side. But that's nothing new, that's part of our philosophy. Otherwise, we could not meet our target in the 9% in our range. Okay, and then about investment, Mr. Krüger, or e-mobility. Well, at BMW i, in the past, we invested a lot. Also the e-drive as such and the plug-in hybrid, the BMW i8, and now we are transferring this technology into the core models. We've now got the X5 as a new product in the US with the X5 iDrive, which will be coming to Germany soon. And next year, the new 7 Series will be coming with a plug-in hybrid, then the 3 and 2 Series. So we're expanding this plug-in hybrid technology into all core model series. We will then be the only supplier who has already covered the entire segment with plug-in hybrid. And in the future, we will, of course, continue to invest. And we have to be very efficient and very cost-saving in order to achieve our operative targets. We're always investing into the future, into efficiency and operative excellence in the present. Thank you. Next question.
Elisabeth Behrmann, Bloomberg News.
Good morning. Herr Krüger, at the beginning you mentioned that you want to tap new business fields as part of your strategy revision, and you also mentioned digitalization. Could you perhaps be a little more specific and describe what is particularly attractive to BMW and how you're planning to tap these business fields? Would you be making acquisitions, go into corporations, or is this internal? Second question is about the Volkswagen issue. If Volkswagen, given the situation they're in, if they were to sell anything such as Bugatti or Ducati, would you be interested? And second question, how will or how does BMW respond to the increased reuse by the authorities as to the maintenance of emission limits?
Will that increase your expenses?
Well, Mrs. Behrmann, I'm really sorry I have to be a spoilsport here.
The first one, new business fields, please understand, we clearly said that we will talk about this in Q1 next year, so we will not comment on it this year.
The second part of your question relating to Volkswagen, I've also mentioned that we will not comment on Volkswagen. As concerns possible additional expenditure, I will pass over to the chairman of the board, but I'll ask for your understanding, please.
Okay, there we're expecting a slight increase in expenses here. What's most important to us here is the intensive cooperation with the authorities, but we are also making available cars on a voluntary basis. What will come, of course, we will get clarity about real driving emissions. The WLTP tests details are not available yet, but that helps us in our planning. We need certainty for our planning process because now we are deciding on technologies and products coming into the market or into the cars in 1919, 1920.
Thank you. Next question, please. Irene Preisinger, Reuters.
Good morning, gentlemen. I have several questions about China. Actually, the investment result should stabilize, but it went back. Is the stabilization to be expected in Q4 or only next year? And can you give us a forecast for the group? Maybe a careful look into 2016, especially because that's your anniversary year. Usually you set yourself very ambitious goals. Then cooperation. Mr. Tetscher said at the trade fair that he could envisage quite other things, taking Nokia as a role model, things you could be doing together, Daimler, BMW and Audi. Have you got something in mind here, or are you already talking about something? And then the strategy process was supposed to be concluded this year. Now you're saying first quarter next year. How do we interpret this? Is it taking longer? Are there difficulties, or what's the reason?
Thank you. I say we'll begin with Mr. Eichiner, stabilization of the investments in China, and then Mr. Krüger, Mr. Eichiner.
Well, we said at the beginning of the year that the investment result in China, or this year, will decline, not only because of the normalization, that's one component, as I've already said. This has come a little faster than originally planned or anticipated, but also because we've got costs. There's ramp-up costs for new products. You know our strategy. We prepare the localization of three further products, and we are incurring costs for it this year and next year. And this is one of the main reasons why this is impacting the result of this investment, and that still applies. So this will lead to a reduction of the investment result in the year, and one share of it will also hit the fourth quarter. The outlook for 2016, to be quite honest, it's much too early. We haven't even got the results for 2015. There's still a lot of work to be done. That's our first priority, and then we'll talk about the next step.
Thank you. Then you're still getting an answer relating to what Mr. Zetscher said about possible further cooperation and so on. Mr. Krüger.
Mrs. Preisinger, as far as the comment of Mr. Zetscher is concerned, I mean, there's that acquisition, but that's not final yet. Nokia and all that. We're expecting this acquisition to be over by the end of Q1 2016. We haven't got all of the regulatory approvals yet, so that's something we'd like to conclude first.
Well, we said this is a strategic issue where we cooperate and where three manufacturers, in fact, have a common interest. The second thing was you wanted to know whether there's any ideas going beyond that. Well, at the moment, and then you wanted to know whether the strategy process will be completed. Why is it Q1? Well, we are quite on track. We'll be done with everything by the end of the year. But, of course, there's still a bit of preparatory work, and there's still a bit of fine-tuning. And this is why we will communicate everything in Q1. But we're right on track.
Next question, please.
Philipp Vetter, Die Welt.
Good morning. I have two questions. The first one, again, relates to the diesel issue. You yourself said that you need diesel in order to meet the CO2 targets for the fleet. This is why in the past years German manufacturers tried to increase the share of diesel cars in the US. My question, are you going to change your strategy at BMW? Will you continue to increase the share of diesel cars in the US, or Will you change anything now? Second question about China. You said possibly the further development could have impact on your forecast. I'd like to know whether you can be more specific here.
Dann würde ich sagen.
Thank you. I'd say the first topic, diesel, Mr. Krüger will answer that, and then the forecast, China, Mr. Eichiner. Mr. Krüger, please.
Well, Mr. Vetter, the diesel technology is of high importance for achieving the CO2 targets in Europe. That's a key technology into which many billions have been invested by us over the past, and it will continue to be very important because it's very CO2 efficient. To give you an idea, in Europe, at BMW Group, we're selling about 80% diesel. In Germany, it's 73%, and in the US, it's 6%. That corresponds to about 20,000 cars in the United States. So the share of diesel technology in the US is fairly low. The main sales there are the petrol, the models, and I guess it'll remain so in the future. Second part, forecast for China, possible impacts. Mr. Eichiner. Well, Mr. Vetter, as I said at the beginning, at the moment in China, as far as the transaction price development is concerned, we see a certain stabilization in the third quarter. We're assuming that this will stay on that level, and in the fourth quarter, should there be any deterioration, then I'd say we'd have a new situation. Next question, please.
Ulrich Milge.
Good morning. I have a brief question on electromobility. When is the new iCar coming? And is that going to be built in Leipzig?
Thank you. I'll pass that to Mr. Krüger.
Well, you can imagine that we cannot communicate anything here. We cannot tell you when that car is coming nor where it could be built because we're in an early planning phase here. But, you know, when the time has come, then we'll comment on it. But right now, it's much too early.
Thanks. Next question, please.
Felix Rieler, DPA.
Good morning. Just one additional brief question on the IPAT team. Since 25th of September, IPAT testing this car for possible switch-off functions. We had quite unpleasant news at Volkswagen yesterday. Have you already got first results from IPA from these tests?
Well, perhaps I can answer that question. We have no indications, neither in the one or the other direction. You know, we have made cars available to IPA. They're testing them, and we have nothing, nothing at all. Next question.
Olaf Storbeck.
Good morning from London. I have a question about the overall development of the business looking forward. The theory is that globalization affects premium car manufacturers less if they do business in various regions so that this all balances each other. Your experience at the moment seems to confirm this to you. I'd like to know whether this is something you expect to happen in the long run as well, or do you say that in terms of structure, not much will change.
Thank you, Mr. Storbeck. Mr. Eichiner, please.
Well, I think what you're saying here, I still see this, it's all guaranteed. If you look at the long-term trend, it's clear to recognize that after the financial crisis 2008-2009, acceleration of recovery, there was a compensation that took place in China. We had a very strongly growing Chinese market that compensated weaknesses in Europe. We can clearly say if it hadn't been for the market in China, the effects here would have been much more drastic. There would have been negative developments also among the premium manufacturers. So that certainly helped. But now, let's not forget, in China we've already reached a very high level. I mean, that market accounts for 22% of our sales volume, and over the past 10 years, it is now 30 times higher than it was then. That's a great development. We see a few weak points in China. There's a normalization of growth rates. Growth rates are no longer two-digit. But at the same time, fortunately, we see a recovery in Europe and in the U.S. market. This year, that market has been very strong in terms of sales. We're reaching peak 70 million cars as far as it looks like. So there's also a counter movement. There is a balancing effect here for the development in China. So that's partly compensated by the development in the US and in Europe. And otherwise, our targets could not have been achieved that we set ourselves and other manufacturers set themselves. So that's still working if you look at the big picture. Can I ask another question? Was that pure luck or chance, or would you say
there was really a structural change in the business, and there's a certain mechanism here that you can build on for the long term, namely that these different markets balance each other cyclically. Well, the distribution of our production and value addition worldwide and the flexibility we're building up, that's not chance. That's a strategy. Whatever happens around it then, I mean, you know, if there's a political campaign in China, that's certainly not chance. There was an intention behind it, but other things happen, such as black swans. You know, you meet one every now and then, and that's something you just need to be prepared for. Maybe one additional comment. I think the volatility in our business, that will be a constant in the future. We see markets going up, we see markets going down, and BMW Group have a very flexible production network, but we have a strategy of dealing with this volatility. Thank you. Next question. I'd say we can come to a close soon. We've got one last question. William Boston, Wall Street Journal.
Hat auch die Strategie, mit Volatilität umzugehen. Vielen Dank. Die nächste Frage, oder wir können so langsam zum Schluss kommen, je nachdem.
The next question.
Die Frage kommt aus dem Englischraum von William Boston, Wall Street Journal.
Ja, guten Tag aus Berlin. Ich habe ein paar Fragen. Das eine geht um Mexiko.
One is about Mexico.
Ob Sie ein Update an das...
Can you give us an update?
Können Sie mich hören?
Can you hear me at all? Yes, Mr. Boston, we can hear you. You just keep talking.
Okay. Ich habe eine Frage. Es geht um Mexiko.
This is about Mexico.
Ob Sie da ein Update geben können und vielleicht auch sagen, was Sie planen dort zu bauen.
What you're planning to build there.
Ob es eine Verschiebung von Produktion aus Deutschland nach Mexiko geben wird.
Of production from Germany to Mexico.
Ob es eine Verschiebung von Produktion aus Deutschland nach Mexiko geben wird, wie Ihr Kollege Audi gemacht hat. Sie expandieren in Spartanburg auf 450.000. Also wird das reichen für die USA? Oder wachsen Sie dort schnell genug, dass Sie noch weitere Kapazitäten ausbauen wollen? Noch eine Frage zu Dieselthema. Mich interessiert nicht ein Kommentar von Ihnen über VW, sondern ganz gezielt über BMW. Und ob es Verdächtigungen oder Gespräche mit amerikanischen Behörden gegeben hat, was auf BMW-Fahrzeuge gezielt waren und wie diese Gespräche gelaufen sind. Letzte Frage, Thema Konsolidierung. Wie wichtig wird es für BMW sein, in Zukunft noch weiter an Größe zu gewinnen? Und kann BMW das alleine schaffen oder werden Sie einen Partner
suchen?
Vielen Dank.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Boston. Maybe on the suspicions, EPA and BMW. Let me tell you, there have been no talks with EPA. EPA did not contact us either. They clearly did not. Let me repeat, neither we approached them nor did they approach us in any way. Then I'd like to ask Mr. Krüger to comment on Mexico and Spartanburg and the consolidation and whether BMW will continue to grow alone. That would be Mr. Eichinger. Mr. Krüger, let's start with Spartanburg. In 2014, we communicated that by the end of 2016, $1 billion will have been invested into the expansion of the Spartanburg plant. And we'll have a capacity of 450,000 vehicles end of 2016. With that, Spartanburg will be the largest plant in the BMW production network worldwide. At the same time, 1 year later, we communicated, and that was in July 2014, that we'll build a new plant in Mexico, investment $1 billion as well, which will start production in 2019. Now, next year, summer 2016, the building works will begin. No decision has been taken yet about what exactly will be built there or kind of cars. That's something we'll implement a little later. But we're planning and the ramp-up's going to be 2019. Then we invested also in the NAFTA region in order to expand capacities in the NAFTA region. And that's based on the idea we had before, you know, a balance of production and sales, global balance. Because sales are also growing in the U.S. in the NAFTA region. We had a 7% share there, so we're pretty well positioned. Then we've got one question left. Is BMW able to grow alone, or do we need a partner? Mr. Eichiner?
Well, I think BMW, with its premium brand strategy, with BMW, Mini and Rolls-Royce brands, with the motorcycles, the financial services segments, we're very well positioned to meet the challenges of the future. Prerequisite for growth, of course, is that you are able to invest, that you're innovative, and that in turn requires you to have the necessary funds available, and that means that the company needs to pursue its successful path. It needs to be profitable. That's why it's very important for us in order to maintain our profitability in the target range, to create a foundation that allows us to further grow. This is a general statement I can make. Over and above that, it is also important to talk about or to consider corporations, because there's a lot of technological challenges out there, e-mobility, hydrogen, digitalization, down to lightweight construction. And it will certainly make sense in some areas to also cooperate with others, share expenses, reap scale benefits. I think that's certainly part of it.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for your questions. I think we can now close our press conference. Thank you for having participated, and I wish you a nice day. Thanks and goodbye.